This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's August the 31st, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, China says U.S. soybeans are too weedy. They must have gotten that one boatload of beans that was not glyphosate resistant. I can't imagine why else they'd be weedy. Hey, the Doha round of the WTO is still stalled. Maybe it's just a trade disagreement between the U.S. and China. The Doha round of the WTO is still stalled, but that might not slow down trade deals, speaking of them, around the globe. And the U.S. crop insurance industry does not like the House version of the new farm bill. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then I'll remind you just how broad agriculture is in the state of Illinois. It all happens on this Friday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Take a look now at the numbers in Chicago on this Friday afternoon. Futures finish the day like this. Nearby September wheat is $7.67 settlement price and ran all the way up in the Septembers to $7.91. That was a new contract high. December's at $7.75.5. We're down 9. July, we're at $6.01, and they finished 9 cents lower as well. Corn futures now, September contract 324, a penny and a quarter higher. December at 340, a quarter cent higher. And March contract at 356, unchanged. December futures 391.5, 1.5 cents higher. September futures in the bean pit, $8.68, down 2.5. November's at 882.5, we're 2.5 lower. January futures at 898, we're down 1.5. And next year's Noves were 3/4 lower at 893.5. Bean meal futures September contract 239.80, down 20. September bean oil for the day 21 higher at 36.54. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle 94.10, 47.5 cents lower. October futures at 96.90, were 17.5 lower. And the feeder cattle finished the September's at 117.52.5, down 45 cents. October contract 52.5 cents lower at 117.62.5. October lean hog $66.82.5. They were off $1.02.5 for the day. October crude oil futures in the outside markets at $73.92 a barrel. They're 56 higher. November's at 73.18, up 57 for the afternoon. The CRB index at 308.86, up 1.65, and the Dow now at 13,385 is just about 147 points higher for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike.
Hi there, Todd.
Well, it was a hot day when you were out there on Tuesday at the Farm Progress Show, and we were talking about wheat. I think we were even talking about wheat making new contract highs that day. I don't frankly remember. It's kind
That's
of a
what
blur.
I was going to say. I can't remember that day at all. Mm-hmm. I came back Wednesday, and my insurance guy came to lunch here in the office, and he goes, hey, let's go. And I said, Dave, you're not supposed to come until Wednesday. And he goes, it is Wednesday. I said, oh, my gosh. I was still suffering from heat stroke. The whole body can't take that.
Yeah, it was hot. So it was still hot kind of in Chicago with the wheat market today. She was running up and then she turned around and didn't hold on to the gains.
Yeah, it was kind of a precursor to the Labor Day holiday, it seemed like, but a lot of activity in the morning, both in the wheat and the outside markets, and that seemed to really kind of die down for the most part as we got into the first hour and a half of trading. I think that was probably not something that trade really minded too much after a week like this week, Todd. I think from the people I talked to in Chicago, everybody felt like they were in Chicago, were out there in the tents with us in the Farm Progress Show. I think they were pretty happy it was a slow day today because they have been really running ragged up there.
It's been pretty tough. Tell me about soybeans. I want to hear a little bit more, and I don't know whether they've been talking about this much in Chicago, about China complaining about wheaty soybeans from the United States, as I said earlier. I just can't imagine where they're actually getting the weeds from and the beans, but maybe it's maybe they're dumping some in some places.
Oh, I believe this is probably going back to the trade dispute issues and the lead issues in our toys, and I would encourage anybody that's listening to, you know, maybe pick up a Foreign Affairs magazine at their Borders or their bookstore there in Urbana-Champaign. They've got the September-October issue. Has a very good article about China's coming environmental crash, and this writer in there, for instance, says that more than 80% of the East China Sea is now rated unsuitable for fishing. And, you know, you've got issues that they use as much coal right now as both the United States, Japan, and the United Kingdom combined, and they're thought to be releasing about 25 to 40% of all of the world's mercury emissions right now, and that it's getting so bad that it's starting to influence our West Coast. So I think that China is probably feeling a lot of pressure because the Green Olympics that they've touted for 2008 is starting to turn against them, and then some of these recalls from the lead in the toys, they're starting to push back a little bit like they like to do.
It'll be a bit of a tight wire tiptoe for them, I would think, as they edge towards that Beijing Olympics and try to make sure that everybody decides that they want to get into the country and, in fact, that they can hold those without much ado on the environmental side, I suppose.
Well, and they're already shutting down, planned on shutting down transportation, you know, as much as a year in advance in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
They've already moved factories out to the outskirts of Beijing because of the air pollution they're so worried about, because at certain times of the year, it isn't safe to breathe in Beijing outside. So I think that, yeah, that's going to get more and more notoriety, and they probably realize that.
Well,
the best defense is an offense.
What's the influence on our commodity markets, on the financial markets, both of this economic giant as it tries to stabilize? I don't know whether I want to call it stabilize itself, but maybe stabilize some of these environmental issues.
It all goes back to GDP. I think the financial markets and the commodity markets will still continue to believe that unless we see the export slip in major commodities like beans or copper or steel, and you see their demand start to fall in some of their quarterly data that they release, or you start to see a quarterly GDP number that drops below 9 or 10% because they've been running so strong, that would probably garner some attention. But other than that, they're probably, the financial and commodity markets are probably still much, much more consumed with the issues of our financial stability here in our banking industry and the subprime markets and revolving all around that. The Fed and President Bush, Bernanke, has been talking a lot this past week to try and shore up the markets, and that's probably what the focus will remain on.
I wonder, what are your thoughts about that, in fact, about the federal government coming in to salvage these subprime loans?
I think it goes back to Bernanke's speech this morning. What I took him saying is we're not going to protect investors from poor decisions that they make, but we're also not going to let those poor decisions spread into the general economy. And what he means by that is we can't lose the consumption, especially personal consumption at the home level or at the individual level, because of what's going on with these lower mortgage values and how housing values are declining. So if we lose both consumption and our housing values go down and our credit card debt goes up, that is truly something the Fed does not want to have happen. And so it is, I think, standing ready to cut rates. And the market, it's kind of like soybeans right now in the outside markets. I think that the Fed is expected, and the market is priced in now with this rally back up to 13.3 in the Dow Jones, that the market is expecting at least a 25-point basis cut in September. It's kind of like what we're dealing with in beans by going back towards the high end of the range in November, ignoring the pro-farmer yield and production assessments. They think there's yield problems, and I think they probably better get that in September if we want to hold on to these types of price levels in Nov beans as we start to cut them.
So you think that, we went to 894 today. We dropped back to 882.5 as a settlement price. You don't think $9 is in the offing?
It may be a little bit hard to do. Next week we're going to have to test that 875 trend line, short-term trend line probably in the November, and make sure the buyers are there for the long haul. It's going to be hard probably from a standpoint of what the pre-report estimates come out. They'll probably start hitting the news wires next week because the report's on the 12th. We come back a day later than normal, and The news wires are already starting to get their numbers lined up for the late part of next week from what they told me today. So it's going to be hard to maintain and sustain this type of momentum in beans if the wheat and the corn don't join in and help them here, especially because of the run we've had here. So it's not impossible. Can certainly happen. Maybe need some new news to make it happen, though.
The corn just kind of laying around for most of the week, wasn't it?
It has. You know, we continue to see the wide basis and the wide spread. That's been those are the two best leading indicators. Continue to be the harvest, the early harvest yield numbers, especially coming out of Illinois, seem to be on the higher side. Sherman's been shooting me a lot from all over the country this past week, and it's been really, really surprising to see how well some areas like southeast of Springfield and closer to St. Louis on the lighter soils that have been hit by the drought, they're holding up very well. So the spreads, the cash market, and the basis are all showing that because the elevators are getting more corn than they thought they would. And obviously the harvest is 10 days ahead. Chuck was in the paper here in Lafayette yesterday just on that specific subject that we're probably going to be going here next week if it stays dry and hot.
You mean the media mogul Chuck was in the paper?
I'm
sorry.
The man, and he got his picture. You know, I've got a good radio face. Chuck's actually got a good face.
I was walking in this morning. Speaking of that, I was walking in this morning, and somebody said "Hi West" to me because I was on Channel 3 on Tuesday morning, and they had the wrong CG up on
it. It's heck being popular, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I guess it is. Hey, thanks much.
You bet.
Any last word before I let you go?
That'll do it. Have a great holiday, everybody.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Mike Zuzlo with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agriculture weather with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. His name, of course, Steve Hilberg. AM 580's own Mike Sola forecast for tonight across the two-state region calls for mostly clear skies. Lows will range from 50 in northwestern Illinois to about 60 in southern Indiana. Saturday, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 77 in northern Illinois to 88 in the southern part of Illinois. The extended forecast says dry weather can be expected through at least Wednesday of next week. The next chance of rain will come on Thursday or Friday of next week. Dave Dickey's here now to take a complete look at today's agricultural news. This is the Closing Market Report.
In agricultural news, China is tightening inspection of U.S. soy as well as that of Argentina, prompting fears that oil seeds will be stranded in a possible trade backlash. A senior Beijing trade official says, and this is a direct quote, "It is unpleasant. It depends on the political situation." China is under international scrutiny after a massive U.S. recall of Chinese manufactured toys. China's quarantine authority says U.S. shipments contain too many weeds. China soy buyers are slowing purchases as a result, not knowing if their purchases will be released. If there is no progress in the stalled Doha round by November, some WTO members say they will push hard for bilateral agreements. Brazil Foreign Minister Celso Amorim says, and this is a direct quote, "If the American Congress does not give President Bush trade promotion authority, we are not going to stand still." USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says Congress should renew TPA as soon as possible or risk losing export opportunities.
"We believe every president needs it. It doesn't matter to me who's in the White House, Republican, Democrat, whoever. They need trade promotion authority. Country after country is reaching out to the strong markets to try to nail down trade agreements. Why? Because they want the market access. They want to be able to sell their products into that foreign marketplace. The marketplace that we don't seize, some other country will."
WTO negotiators return to Geneva next week for 3 weeks of intensive negotiations, once again focusing on agricultural subsidies and tariffs. The talks are now closing out its seventh year. The U.S. crop insurance industry says the House version of the Farm Bill could cripple the private sector's future participation. Industry insiders say cutting the expense reimbursement program another 2.9% and rating underwriting at 12.5% will put the entire program at risk. A chief executive for Smithfield Foods says the meat company will likely focus on paying down debt rather than making more acquisitions. Smithfield Foods is more than $3 billion in debt, and it is impacting its credit rating, currently investment grade BB. Smithfield's debt is 54% to total capitalization. Smithfield has about 30% of the U.S. pork market. USDA predicts that U.S. farm net income will reach a record level of $87.1 billion in 2007. That's $28.1 billion more than in 2006. The total value of U.S. agricultural production this year is projected at $323 billion, up almost $48 billion from last year. Direct subsidies to farmers are projected at $13.6 billion, down from $15.8 billion in 2006. And the USDA Farm Service Agency has received a recommendation from Indiana FSA State Executive Director Kenneth Culp. He's suggesting the consolidation of 9 local FSA offices with neighboring offices. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming right here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you, as always, to visit our website at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, it's harvest season, or soon will be, right here in the Midwest, and that means the combines will begin rolling, and the corn and soybean crops will soon be put away. But there's a lot more than just corn and soybeans in the Illinois Horn of Plenty. Did you know that Illinois grows more processing pumpkins than any other state in the Union? At least 90% of them. That makes your pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving an Illinois native. From there, we head to Christmas. And what would that be without a poinsettia? If you live in the Midwest, there's a pretty good chance that the one you buy will be grown near Granville, Illinois. Mid-American Growers has 60 acres of greenhouse and about 1 million poinsettias in pots at the moment. Mid-American is just one of nearly 10,000 green industry businesses in the state of Illinois. Combined, they add about $5 billion of direct economic value to the state every year and employ more than 160,000 people. They work in the greenhouses, the nurseries, the local florist shop, and for landscaping and lawn care companies. Well, what would Christmas be without a good bottle of wine? Did you know that in the early 1900s, Illinois was the fourth largest wine-producing state in the nation? There are almost 60 wineries in the state today, including the August Hill Winery in Utica. Today, they produce about 500,000 gallons of wine every year combined. The Illinois wine industry adds about $20 million to the state's economy. And it, like the rest of agriculture in the state, often turns to the University of Illinois for answers. And they get them, says August Hill winemaker Mark Winsel.
U of I has been beneficial from the standpoint of the extension offices and their research centers have they grow a number of varieties to help us learn which varieties are best to grow. Bill Schumacher up in St. Charles, you know, when I have questions about diseases or what's going on with the grapes or problems, he always seems to be able to easily talk to. The university has a lot of research and the spray program guides and everything. That's been very beneficial and helpful.
You can taste just how helpful by looking for the August Hill Winery and other Illinois winemakers on the web at illinoiswine.com. Well, the heart and soul of Illinois agriculture lies in its vast prairie. The soils are rich and deep and diverse, and from them came one of the nation's primary cash crops, corn. It is big business. Nearly all the hybrid corn that farmers plant has an ancestor rooted in Illinois. Today's seed corn, more often than not, is developed, grown out, harvested, and processed in places like El Paso, Illinois, where the seed corn business employs 25 people full-time and another 250 seasonally. It's all part of the state's number one industry, agriculture. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Friday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market here on WILL AM 580. During the closing market report, we're always joined by Bruce Bostard. He's the general manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator's 7 Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Anybody started picking anything yet?
Not here. Yeah,
so.
Just a little bit south. Yes, they're going, but not here. Driest sample I've had has been hand-shelled at 21%, so probably real world, that's 23, so we're a week or so away.
Man, that's awful. I'm surprised it's that dry. That's well, they'll be going, I guess, won't they? So what are they talking about at this point as they look at the cash prices, basis levels? I know that you sent us some numbers last week about freight levels and how high they'd gotten. What's the big scoop in the cash side of this marketplace?
Oh, right now I think it still comes down to the will we be able to put this crop away or not. Some of the stuff from a little further south of us sounds like, yes, there's some problems here and there, but it's coming in maybe a little bit better than expected. And I think the cash market is daring us to be able to put it away. Now, we'll see. Typically, you anticipate a problem for a long time. The market can do a good job of putting the crop away if we need to, barring any unforeseen logistical disruptions. And there will be glitches here and there, but we've had some time to prepare for it.
And so how wide is basis at this time?
We are 36 under the Dease at Paxton, so wide. It's come back some from where it was, but still a traditionally wide basis level for this time of year.
By about how much? Do you know?
Oh,
I know you've been
could
there.
Could be up to a dime.
Could be, and is that including pre-Katrina, or are we just talking
pre-Katrina time?
Yeah, so
yeah.
Really, that dime might be the 8 cents. It might be 2 cents
right.
More than because of the energy premium.
We've seen energy costs go up. Freight, fuel surcharges on freight have gone up. So it's kind of a moving target. We're working off on historicals.
Okay. And what are your bids for the dime?
We are at 304 at Paxton for new crop corn and 820 on soybeans.
We sure do appreciate you being with us for
the
day.
Thank you.
Thanks much. And that is Bruce Bostard. He's the general manager at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Companies out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Friday afternoon. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Climatologist Steve Hilberg will join us from the director. He's the director, actually, of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here in Champaign County, Illinois. Up next, your regional newscast. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Rantoul's village administrator says the village now has negotiated an agreement with an Iowa company to rent one of the three local auto parts plants due to close. Engineered Plastics Components is another auto parts maker. It plans to start work in the plant next week with about 120 employees. Collins and Aikman is bankrupt and is closing its three Rantoul plants today. The Michigan company employed 1,200 people as recently as last fall in Rantoul. David Johnston, the village administrator, says Rantoul doesn't yet have potential renters for the other two plants. A state representative says a two-day tour of the University of Illinois and Eastern Illinois University is exposing the need for a capital improvement program. Yesterday, lawmakers looked at the U of I's crumbling Lincoln Hall, which has been slated for an overhaul that's never been funded. Republican Bill Black of Danville says several lawmakers had never seen the hall or the U of I campus before and expressed shock at the condition. Next week, lawmakers reconvene to consider a sales tax plan to fund mass transit in the Chicago area. Police are looking for the owner of a van that hit and killed a Champaign man yesterday morning. They say 29-year-old Diosdado Resendez is a person of interest in the investigation of the hit-and-run incident that killed 76-year-old William Higdon. They say the van was found yesterday, but Resendez has not come forward. Indiana will get nearly $16 million in federal grants to reinforce seatbelt laws and promote highway safety. That's the second largest share of $109 million in federal grants across the country. Only California gets more. Brigadier General William Enyart will be the new chief of the Illinois National Guard. Enyart is an attorney from Belleville with more than 30 years of military service. He'll take over as adjutant general from Major General Randall Thomas, who retires in September. A Yahoo executive says the engineering center that the internet company plans to open next month on the U of I campus could be a blueprint for future collaboration with other universities. Vice President Basil Ojai says the company also sees the new center as the heart of its push to hire talent from Midwest universities and employ those people in the region. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. We're joined now by Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather for the weekend. It's gorgeous right now.
Boy, we couldn't have ordered a better weekend worse of weather here, considering what we've been going through the last month or so. It should be a beautiful weekend, no rain, generally clear skies, and temperatures rather seasonable for this time of year. A little cooler than normal today, but generally seasonable to a little bit warmer than normal as we get through the weekend. But in general, perfect way to end the sort of official summer with Labor Day.
Yeah, very nice weather. A little wind will help dry things out, too. Might that be in the cards?
Yep, especially where they need to dry it out. We don't need to dry it out here in southern Illinois, but farther north where they've had tons of rain this month. That will help, along with the low dew points. So they're welcoming this sunny, dry, and breezy weather with open arms up in northern Illinois. We still are really pretty fairly dry down here in the central and southern part of the state. The rain we had this month was very spotty. Some areas got some good rains at the right times, which is nice, but we really could use some good rainfall down here, and looks like we might get at least a shot at it this next week.
Yeah, late in the week or midweek?
It's going to be mid to late week. The models have been sort of slowing this front down. Yesterday it looked like Wednesday. Now it looks like Thursday through Saturday would be a good window for a rain here in Illinois. The front looks like it's going to be fairly strong, and we'll get moisture returned by then. So right now indications are looking like pretty good area of showers and thunderstorms should move across the whole state, and most everybody should get something out of this one if things pan out the right way.
The commodity markets are looking forward to the September 12 crop production report. I know you've got some crop models you run during the year there at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. What do they say for beans and corn at this time?
Well, for corn, for Illinois, we're looking at about 156 bushels an acre on our last model run. For the region, about 147. For Illinois, it's about down 2 bushels an acre from last week. Interestingly, the model runs now have pretty much converged on a solution because this is a probabilistic model that uses past data and what is expected in the future. And normally we don't converge until a couple weeks from now. So we've pretty much reached the final numbers that we're going to see on our model, at least for Illinois, and that's 156. For soybeans, this week we're down about a half bushel an acre for the Midwest, which is pretty significant. And in Illinois, we're looking at a median value of at about 44.9. So we're doing better than the regional average, but everything is down a little bit this week.
And then how far are you usually off USDA's finals and final number?
We are usually a little bit lower than USDA finals by anywhere from 3 to 5%. So it obviously depends on the year, but in general, we run lower than the final USDA average.
We appreciate you being with us, Steve.
Okay, Todd.
Hey, Steve Hilberg is with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey. Joined us here on the Closing Mark Report on Friday afternoons. Don't forget to join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. for Commodity Week. It's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up off our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Thanks much to all those folks who came out to see Dave Dickey, your director of ag programming, and myself at the Farm Progress Show this week. We really appreciate all the kind words you had to offer us and the support, and we'll take into account much of what you had to tell us. I forgot to, and speaking of that, forgot to mention what the numbers look like from the Chicago Board of Trade at the end of the week, but we'll try to put that into my script so it happens each and every time we get to this segment. Thanks much again, and you have a great Labor Day weekend. We'll talk with you again on Tuesday during the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason.